Our founding fathers said that all people are created equal and have been endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, including the right to life. But 50 years of abortion rights in America have undermined that right. And now a majority of the abortions performed in the U.S. are chemical abortions. Are there any complications involved in these chemical abortions? Tessa Longbons Cox is Senior Research Associate at Charlotte Lozier Institute, where her research focuses on abortion statistics. Recently, she wrote an article on the FDA and chemical abortions. She co-wrote this with Mia Stupert, and this is what they say. Quote, "The FDA's abortion drugs complications data is woefully incomplete, a problem that parallels issues with incomplete and inconsistent state complications data. In recent years, the FDA has continued to roll back safety protections for abortion drugs, making it all the more necessary to gather accurate and complete data on complications," end quote. Tessa Longbons Cox now joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Tessa, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Sure. So this is a really important topic because you and I are having this discussion in late March, in the year of our Lord, I love saying that, 2024, and the significance of that is that around this time soon, the Supreme Court is actually going to be looking into this whole issue about the FDA and these abortion drugs, these chemical abortions.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in a case that's challenging the FDA's decision to roll back some of these important safety protections, and they're hearing oral arguments tomorrow. So it's a very timely and current issue, a lot of debate going on. But the story, it really starts back in 2000 when FDA first approved abortion-inducing drugs in the U.S. And when we're talking about chemical abortion, the abortion pill, abortion drugs, what we're really talking about is a two-part process. A woman takes that first pill, mifepristone, which blocks progesterone, which is a hormone that's necessary to sustaining pregnancy. Then she follows it a couple of days later with misoprostol, which induces contractions that will expel the unborn baby and the rest of the pregnancy tissue from her uterus. And it's a painful process. It takes a long time. It's not instantaneous. There's a lot of pain, a lot of bleeding. And it's also dangerous. Studies have shown that it has four times the complication rate of surgical abortion. And so when FDA first approved this protocol back in 2000, it put important safety protections in place that limited how the drugs could be used, including, perhaps most importantly, requiring that they could only be dispensed in person, not online, not through the mail, not in pharmacies. But then steadily they rolled back those protections until during COVID, they removed that requirement that there be that in-person visit. And so now there's a group of doctors that's challenging that, and that's the case that the Supreme Court is going to hear tomorrow.
All right. Again, we're recording this in 2024. Let's say if we go back to 2010 or thereabouts, what was the percentage roughly of all 100% abortions in America? Of those 100%, what percentage roughly would have been these kind of chemical abortions you're talking about back then?
Yes. So it certainly has been a steady increase from zero in 2000 mm-hmm. to in the mid 2000s, maybe a quarter to a third, but then increasing steadily until the most recent estimates that came out a couple of days ago are 63% of all abortions in the U.S. being performed this way. So now a strong majority of all abortions are induced with abortion drugs.
Wow. Now, this is interesting because you said that during the days of COVID, so that's only 4 years ago, they removed certain safeguards. So in other words, having a chemical abortion, say, prior to COVID, was, even though it was, you know, fatal to the baby, it didn't have the complications to the woman having the abortion that they do now. Is that right?
Well, actually, it's always been dangerous, and that's why FDA put some of these guidelines in place to limit how the drugs could be used. But even with more stringent guidelines, we know that these drugs are dangerous. There have been high-quality international studies that have been done comparing abortion drugs with other forms of abortion, and they're much more likely to cause heavy bleeding or hemorrhage, to not even work the first time, and to require a second round of the drugs or even follow-up surgery to complete the abortion and to remove the unborn baby and the other pregnancy tissue, and to lead to things like infection. Women died from sepsis following this type of abortion. And then there are also other risks as well. The risk of ectopic pregnancy, or when the unborn baby has implanted somewhere besides the uterus. Abortion drugs are not effective at ending an ectopic pregnancy. And in fact, they can even mask the symptoms. So the woman might not even know that her life is at risk until it's too late. And also we know that the drugs become less effective and more dangerous as pregnancy advances. And so the later in pregnancy they're used, the higher the risks are that they won't work and that there will be a complication. And so it's been very concerning to see this trajectory. At the same time that there's been this huge increase in abortion drugs across the country, some of these important safeguards have been steadily rolled back. So most recently over COVID, removing that in-person requirement, but over the years, FDA also removed requirements removed regulations on the type of provider who could dispense the drug. Doesn't have to be necessarily a medical doctor. Other healthcare professionals can as well, to allow it to be used later and later in pregnancy, to reduce the number of visits required, to remove important complication reporting requirements, which means that we don't even know how many complications are occurring now. And all of this just serves to further weaken these safeguards and make the drugs even more dangerous.
So for the average woman having a chemical abortion, what is it like for them personally through the process?
It's important to remember that these abortions are happening at home. A lot of these women are having their abortions in their bathrooms, in their bedrooms, and it's not an easy process. In fact, it can involve a lot of bleeding, a lot of cramping. It's very painful. And often women are going through this alone, without a doctor, maybe without even anyone there to be with them as they're going through this. And I've spent a lot of time here at Lozier Institute looking into women's experiences with abortion drugs. And many women talked about how surprised they were to even see their unborn baby and hadn't expected that it was going to look like a baby and be as developed as it was. It was very, very difficult and painful experience for them. And that's even under the best of circumstances when no complications are happening and when everything is proceeding normally. And so when you have that complication, or a woman who doesn't even know if she's, is she bleeding too much? Is she at risk? Showing up in the emergency room, trying to figure out where she can go for help. It's a very difficult process, and it's putting women at a lot of risk.
And I understand that there are some doctors even that have complained about, you know, hey, look, the FDA has removed some of these safeguards, and this isn't good for women.
Exactly, yes. And this is the group that is being represented at the Supreme Court tomorrow, a group of doctors and medical organizations that have been seeing these women show up in emergency rooms, seeing this happen to their patients, who know the literature, are concerned about the risks of abortion drugs, not only to unborn babies, but also to the women who are going through this. And so they're challenging the FDA's decision to remove some of these important protections and saying that these safeguards need to be reinstated, that what's happening now with the Wild West of abortion with these abortion drugs, really inducing abortions without any oversight, is not safe, and it's not what should be happening.
Are the women even told about the complications, potential complications, before they even take these pills?
Well, a lot of what you hear now in the media, and if you go online, it makes it seem like such a safe and easy process. And sometimes I like to put myself in the shoes of a young woman who's, you know, getting on Google, trying to find information on abortion drugs, and just to see, you know, what she would find. And so many of the resources out there say, it's safe, it's easy, you can just order online, don't have to talk to anyone, no one will ever know, just fill out a form and the drugs will be mailed to you. And that's really dangerous, because women need to have that in-person visit to rule out some of these different things that can make the abortion even more dangerous for them, but also to make sure that they are the ones who are actually ordering the pills. We've already seen cases of ex-husbands, abusive boyfriends, traffickers getting their hands on these drugs, and they can use them to try to force an abortion without a woman's knowledge or consent. So just really, really scary and dangerous the way women are being put at risk, the way unborn babies are being put at risk, and how this could be enabling bad actors. And really, there's such little oversight.
So you're saying that at this present time, as we're doing this recording, about 63% of the abortions are through this process now, this chemical abortions. Because of COVID 4 years ago, they've removed some of these common sense safeguards to help women going through the process. We know that the abortions are 100% fatal to the unborn babies, but they can actually be dangerous for the women themselves. Now, you said earlier that if a woman goes through a normal or surgical abortion, she's, you know, as bad as that may be for potential complications, you know, maybe she'll have a perforated uterus, maybe she'll never be able to conceive again after that abortion, etc. As bad as that is, you're saying that chemical abortions, if I understood you correctly, are four times more likely to have some kind of complications, you know, working against the mother.
Yes, exactly. Surgical abortions carry their own risks, and they can be dangerous too, but these abortion drugs have an even higher rate of complications, hemorrhage, incomplete abortion, things like that, that can really put women at risk.
Okay, I started this whole discussion with the mention that that America was founded on the basis, I mean, as seen in our, you know, our birth certificate as a nation, the Declaration of Independence, that the Creator has endowed us with our rights, and the first right they listed is the right to life. But abortion is at war with the right to life. How about some just comments about that? Because there's a huge difference. In fact, I've even noticed this politically. If a politician gets abortion wrong as an issue, they tend to get everything else wrong, and vice versa.
Well, like you said, the right to life, it's in the Declaration of Independence. It's our first right. It's that the foundation of all the others. And for almost half a century, it was the abortion issue was taken out of the hands of voters by the Supreme Court. We couldn't have a debate about it. We couldn't really do anything substantive about it. And now, thanks to the Dobbs decision a couple of years ago, it is back in the hands of the people. It is back in the hands of voters. And for the first time, we can have these important debates and think about what it means to protect life and what it means to make sure that that all lives are protected, like our Declaration of Independence says that they should be.
Okay, Tessa Longbons Cox, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks so much for having me.